Now, beloved, as we come to God's Word, let us pray and ask God's help to understand. O Lord our God, as we come to your Word, we're reminded of your severe anger toward Israel, expressed in the last 10 chapters of Hosea. But here we come to hear a different tone in your voice, and we're reminded that you are a loving Father. Help us to catch all of your thoughts and catch your emotions, and most of all, to catch your truth. Better still, capture us with your truth. Give us understanding, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's look at chapter 11 of Hosea. If you haven't read it before, you may be in for some surprises. This is the Word of God, and this is what God is saying. When Israel was a youth, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more they called them, the more they went from them. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning incense to idols. Yet it is I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of a man, with bonds of love, and I became to them as one who lifts the yoke from their jaws, and I bent down and fed them. They will not return to the land of Egypt, but Assyria, he will be their king, because they refuse to return to me. And the sword will whirl against their cities, and will demolish their gate bars, and consume them because of their counsels. So my people are bent on turning from me, though they call them to the one on high, none at all exalts him. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I surrender you, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart is turned over within me. All my compassions are kindled. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not destroy Ephraim again, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. They will walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. Indeed, he will roar, and his sons will come trembling from the west. They'll come trembling like birds from Egypt, and like doves from the land of Assyria. And I will settle them in their houses, declares the Lord. Ephraim surrounds me with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. Judah is also unruly against God, even against the Holy One, who is faithful. Now, I've read verse 12, but we're not going to cover verse 12 tonight. Just verses 1 through 11. In one of our hymns, we sing, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. That is what Hosea 11, 1 through 11 is all about. Verse 12, again, it really belongs in chapter 12. And so after 10 chapters which express God's righteous anger at his people for their sin, except for chapter 1, 1 through 11, and chapter 2, verses 14 through 23, this chapter may come as a beautiful surprise for you. God has not changed in his hatred for sin or his anger toward Israel. Verses 5 through 7 make that clear. But here, Yahweh reveals his compassion for his fallen people. And he surprises us with the way he will show that compassion. Here, very clearly, he reveals his grace and compassion for sinners. Listen to him as he very openly expresses his holy but conflicted emotions, and see how he resolves that conflict while still remaining a holy God. First of all, God reveals how he has been offended by Israel. He tells of their rejection of his love by speaking as their father. He tells of the love he had for them when he called them out of Egypt. Verse 1, when Israel was a youth, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. But then he describes their response to his prophets, and that's who the they are. He describes the response to his prophets, calling them to repentance. The more they, the prophets, called them, the more they went from them, the prophets. The prophets repeatedly called them to repentance. We're talking about people like Isaiah and Jeremiah and others. But they refused to repent, and indeed they grew more committed to idolatry, the second part of verse 2. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burned incense to idols. And then Yahweh remembers how he loved them and took them for his own children. Look and listen to verse 3. It is I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them in my arms. I taught them how to walk. To hear the pain as the Father's voice cracks in verses 3b and 4. I took them in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of a man, with bonds of love, and I became to them as one who lifts the yoke from their jaws. And I bent down and fed them. Hear the pain, how clearly we see and hear our Father in heaven and his love displayed here. This is an amazing revelation of God's holy emotions, a real, clear revelation of how he feels, though he is always self-controlled. He is not controlled by his emotions, but by his holy will. Beloved, we sometimes forget God the Father is truly a Father to us, whose love is deep and profound. There is not one iota of sin and self-pity in God, but there is always tenderness and deep, holy emotion in his heart with regard to us as his people. He gave his son for you, my dear Christian brothers and sisters. He watched his son die in agony. He watched as he was beaten and bled when scourged. He watched as he carried the cross and as they crushed his head with the crown of thorns. And do you think he can simply let you walk away and not be saddened, especially by your sin? Try. Really try, when you're contemplating giving in to temptation, to see it from the perspective of your Father in heaven. He loves you, and do you really want to turn to that sin? Do you really want to break your Father's heart? Then God simply states again the nature of his just punishment of his sinful people, the nation of Israel. They will leave the land and go into exile. In verse 5, he says, they will not return to the land of Egypt, but Assyria. He will be their king, because they refused to return to me. Not Egypt, although history tells us some did go there. If you were to look at Jeremiah 41, verses 16 through 18, I won't have you turn there. But Jeremiah 41, 16 to 18 speaks of, in that case of one group of Israelites who decide to go to Egypt. But the vast majority of Israel went to Assyria. And this is the end of Israel as a nation that has finally come. And again, we're told of the coming destruction of the cities of the northern kingdom of Israel. We know from the history of the king of Israel, Hoshea, that he was put to death by the king of Assyria. They had no use for their puppet any longer, and simply took the remaining population after they killed so many into Assyria. And all because God's beloved children refused to heed their father's call to repent of their idolatry. Verses 6 and 7. And the sword will whirl against their cities, and will demolish their gate bars, and consume them because of their counsels. So my people are bent on turning from me, though they call them to the one on high. That's the prophets again. Though the prophets call them to the one on high, none of Israel at all exalts him. How do you, my friend, respond when God calls you to repentance from the pages of Scripture, or when your pastor warns you about your sin? There are only two responses that are possible, really, unless you're just going to ignore him. One is to call the preacher names and tell him, "How dare you judge me? Who do you think you are?" I've heard that language before, personally. The other would be to repent. But when people are set on rebellion, very few will actually do the hard work of repenting, even though they may be professing Christians. There are pastors who report that when they were faithful in calling for repentance, the people they were pastoring asked them to leave. What would you do? These are serious questions. It's what Israel did. Get lost, God. We don't want you. And you prophets, you stop prophesying. They put Jeremiah in the stocks for prophesying against their lifestyle. Well, God reveals he's been offended by Israel and states the nature of his just punishment of his sinful people. But then, almost unexpectedly, Yahweh openly and very clearly reveals his heart of compassion for his sinful people. Listen closely to the words of the Lord our God. Try to feel the emotion of a loving father who is grieving for his straying children. Look at verse 8. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I surrender you, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart is turned over within me. All my compassions are kindled. Those two cities, by the way, were cities that fell when Sodom fell, along with Gomorrah. But do you hear his grief? Do you hear the Lord's grief? Do you feel his horror at one choice he could make in responding to their sin, of turning their back on him? He could just turn his back on them. And if you and I could see his eyes, don't you think they would be simply overflowing with tears? Well, he's God, he wouldn't cry. You don't think so? You are made in God's image. And when you weep when you're in pain, you're simply imitating God when he's in pain. Listen again to his words in verse 8. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I surrender you, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart is turned over within me. All my compassions are kindled. If you and I could see his eyes. Listen again to his words. Do you hear his heart breaking? This is the God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That is what is behind the words of John 3:16. God so loved the world. Think about what the world was to God. People. His created men, women, and children who turned their back on him and were doing their best to offend him, or their worst. Consider what sinful men deserve. The wages of sin is death. But he causes his son to die in their place. This is amazing love. This is amazing compassion. And suddenly, or so it seems, in verse 9, he changes his mind. Theologically, no, he does not. He always intended to do this. But he wants you to understand. He wants you to have that impression and understand that it was always his will from before the foundation of the world to do this. Read what he says in verse 9. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not destroy Ephraim again. For I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst. And I will not come in wrath. I will not come in wrath. And then he goes on to promise to call them home again by the roar of the Lion of Judah. Listen to verse 10. They will walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. Indeed, he will roar. And that's Jesus, the Son of God. His sons will come trembling from the west. What an amazing thing. But be careful. This is not a change in God. He didn't 1 minute say, I'm too angry to forgive them, I'm going to wipe them out, and the next minute say, I changed my mind. No, he determined this in his eternal counsels. In his eternal counsels. Rather, we're being given a glimpse into his eternal counsels, how he used his sovereign prerogative to exercise grace. And Israel as a nation and a people, therefore, will not and did not perish, but instead they'll be called to return to the land that once again will become their home. Now get this right. That generation of Israel that Hosea is speaking to will undergo a terrible change. Their mothers and children will be slaughtered. Their fathers will perish in war. But the survivors, they will in fact be in exile for a long time, and their children and their children's children, to be precise, until the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, until the time of Darius, the king of Persia, ascends over his empire, over the lands, including Assyria, and in 522 B.C., determines to release them and give them the freedom to return to their home in Israel. And God himself will settle them in their own houses, he says, and in their land to await the birth, life, ministry, and death of Jesus, their Messiah. Verse 11, they will come trembling like birds from Egypt and like doves from the land of Assyria, and I will settle them in their houses, declares the Lord. They're going to wait there until Jesus comes. First time. And this is one example of how the death of Christ was applied to Israel before it took place. It's when Paul speaks in Romans of the death and atonement of Christ, saving those in the Old Testament by its virtues. The only way God could do it was to, by grace, apply it before the time and charge the sins of Israel, those who returned to Christ. Now, what are you and I to learn from this in 2021? What does this tell us about our God and Father and his Son, Jesus Christ? Well, it tells us a couple of very important things. First, that God hates sin with a holy hatred and will not fail to punish it. Second, that God loves his elect people with a holy love that causes him to punish his only begotten Son in their place for their sin. And third, that Yahweh hates sin, but loves justice and mercy, and stands ready to have mercy on you when you sin. If you are a Christian, and you find you have fallen into sin, backslidden into repeated instances of unfaithfulness and wretched sin, then know that your Father is indeed angry, and that he is ready to punish you for it. He is too holy to ignore it. And at that point, there are only two choices you have, and no guarantee you will have a lot of time to think about it. For he remains holy and will not tolerate your rebellion. So, two words for you. Repent now. But note for your encouragement that the Lord remains compassionate. And that is the beauty of this passage. And John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. The thrice holy God longs to show compassion and forgive you and grant you repentance from sin, if you will turn to him and simply ask him to do it. He does not want to give you up to his own wrath. Turn from your sin and your dreadful rebellion, and seek his face in godly sorrow and repentance. Do not wait. Do it now. For you do not know what tomorrow may bring in the way of justice from God to you. But instead, confess your sin and pray for pardon and sanctification and restoration by his grace. For in verses 10 and 11, we see his desire to own you afresh as his beloved son or daughter, to embrace you again in holy love and compassion. Turn to Jesus now and be forgiven. Our God and Father, we thank you that you are a God of compassion as well as holiness and wrath. And we thank you that you turn to us in mercy through your Son, sending him to live the life we should have lived and to die the death we should have died, and then raising him from the dead and then justifying us through your gift of faith to us, that we might be forgiven. And one day we'll be raised like Jesus to be with you forever. And now, our Father, forgive us for our sins and grant us repentance unto life for every sin that we commit from here until the day Jesus comes. In his name we ask it. Amen.